Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. The greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. Well, right now, Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team are 2.5 minutes away from sending the Seahawks to a 3-8 record. They have the ball third and goal, up 17-9. Seattle has just taken a timeout. 2:30 left to go in this game, so likely you're getting at least three from Washington down here, which is going to make it a two-score game with 2.5 left to go, and this has been an abysmal night for Seattle. Russell Wilson tonight, 161 yards through the air and a touchdown. With every passing week, Mike, with every passing week as the Seahawks continue to lose and lose and lose, you are getting closer and closer to the end of the Russell Wilson era in Seattle. We told you from the beginning this was going to be the year. Russell Wilson decided, okay, I'm going to come back and everything is great. And it started out really well, and then he got hurt. And Seattle lost their way, and since they've come back, they have had zero offense. I mean, you're looking at DK Metcalf tonight. No catches, no yards, 3 targets on the night. DK Metcalf, one of the top 3 receivers in the NFL, has not caught a pass. It is just not working. And this is Russell Wilson, who has had that itch to leave for a while now. It's not just been, hey, I want to stay here and make Seattle my team. No, he's kind of had that itch to go. This season ends badly. And the Seahawks are clearly in need of a redo. You're saying we don't even have first-round picks. We traded him for Jamal Adams, who's an overrated safety. Oh, I can say this because he's blocked me on Twitter. He's not listening.
Hey, he's got an interception tonight. What are you talking
about? He does. He has one play. Finally showed that I have a tiniest bit of ball skill. It's nice for Jamal Adams. But this Seahawks team is not going in the right direction. And this is the time to strike. And you're going to see him linked to a lot of teams. The Giants, we told you, we thought it could happen a couple of years ago. But maybe now is the right time. He thinks he has another 6 or 7 years left to play. Maybe he has that many, but he definitely has at least another 4 or 5 good years. So the combination of his wanderlust with the fact that things aren't getting better in Seattle, and there was that mistrust that was going on all throughout last year, it's hard for me to see Russell Wilson going, nope, we're going to run this back and everybody's going to be healthy. We're going to make the moves we need to make next season. I can't see that from Russell Wilson. He's going to be the sought-after quarterback in the offseason, hoping that Aaron Rodgers decides to continue to love life in Green Bay. Hey, they're great. They're at the top of the NFC. But this might wind up being an offseason about Russell Wilson and where he winds up going.
Yeah, I think when you go back to the Aaron Rodgers just for a moment, I mean, as I argued all along, he wasn't going anywhere, and I maintain that because where else are you going to go that it's your world? Right, and that it's set up to win because Chicago, Minnesota, and Detroit can't get out of their own way. So you're already on third base. Why would you go and restart everything? Now, I did like the pettiness of Devontae Adams, if I might, when Odell Beckham Jr. tried to get a little jersey exchange, and he said, go find Cooper Kupp. That's who you wanted to be with. I thought that was a nice touch to the day. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Now, for Russell Wilson, yeah, the opportunity, I mean, it looks like everything converges into a nice meld here, right? Especially when you look at the Giants and the reports. Not that they're a surprise to anybody, and we've certainly thrown them out on these airwaves for weeks about Dave Gettleman, whether Joe Judge is long for the job, just keep on going down the line, that you've got all of these questions of what's going to happen. And certainly Daniel Jones has not been a consistent enough player that you're necessarily saying, well, that's our guy that we're going to ink to a long-term deal and figure this out, right? They got a whole mess. Is Saquon Barkley ever going to be Saquon Barkley, that the guy you drafted, or is that guy already in a museum? You know, I mean, that all of those things go in. For Russell Wilson right now, this is just painful to watch because I don't know if his hand's right to where he should be playing. Like, throws that he's made in his sleep, you know, for years, he's missing wide-open targets. And I don't know how much of that is just, you know, he's winging it, trying to avoid a pass rush that suddenly exists better without the two guys that were going to be on that defensive line, right, and supposed to be such beasts. Who knows? But for me, I've been suggesting that perhaps, you know, Pete Carroll's going to be on the phone to Notre Dame or anybody else who will have him.
Oh, Urban Meyer's Urban Meyer's beating him to that. You're right.
Yeah,
now, Urban Meyer's.
But that's like, it. Yeah. It's open. Those two guys, they might fight for that job at this point.
What am I doing? Why would I take this job to Jacksonville?
We stink. Trevor Lawrence is terrible. People just don't know it yet. Can I find a way out? Can I? Hey, my big bold prediction of him leaving in December now is back on the table, right?
Well, now that all this happened.
Coach. Notre Dame's going to want a coach. They're going to want him now. They're not going to say,
the
hey,
the problem
Urban,
is, yeah, see, you might back into this one. You might back into this one because it's not necessarily – I mean, they're terrible. And your point about Lawrence, you know, you and I have been talking about it a little bit week in, week out. But it's going to become a national talking point here for a lot of other folks soon enough as to how bad his November was, right? Zero touchdown throws in the month and really just abysmal. I think the only quarterback from a lot of ratings that have been worse is Russell Wilson. But to the point, I mean, yeah, Pete Carroll and Urban Meyer may fight for that job. But the other is that you look at, you know, the job Schneider's done the last couple of years as the GM. Is it time to just shake it all up and find a whole new core? And would that be enough to make Russell Wilson want to stay? Because you still do have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, although DK Metcalf might want out after this game with the way this is gone. All those solo shots of him wandering around the sideline looking all ticked off with his helmet in hand.
Jeez, the Jets throw better than we do, and they stink. I've got to get to New York. I got to go play next to Corey Davis. This is going to be great.
Nicely done. Well played. But, yeah, so, I mean, you've got all of that factoring. I mean, and certainly, it's just like the Deshaun Watson, you know, discussion before the season and, you know, when he first said he wanted out before the allegations came out was how many teams wouldn't kick their guy to the curb to bring in Russell Wilson if the right opportunity opened up, right?
Yeah, because no one's going to trust any of these quarterbacks. No one's going to trust any of these quarterbacks coming out of college.
Certainly not coming out this year. Yeah, some of the guys that are in year one and year two, we can look at and say, all right, they're probably not working. And good long-term guys. And even if
I
got to
go get Kenny Pickett. No one's saying that. No one's saying that.
But even, you know, one of the larger talking points coming out of Week 12, right, has been the growth and development and what a game he had against Carolina and Tua Tagovailoa. It's like he's played well. But it's, again, if I can get Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, they jump the line and get in front of him. Right? It's not an indictment necessarily on Tua himself. It's just you're not top five. Could you get there? Maybe. But right now, we got guys that are proven winners. And in theory, that's what in Miami, you were thinking you got a roster that could compete. And right now, they're on a three-game run that, you know, all of a sudden they were left for dead and or at least showing, you know, shown to have a pulse. But the opportunity knocks, I got to imagine half the league is looking at Russell Wilson and kicking the tires.
Oh, of course they are. Of course you'd have to because it's not like, hey, there's three guys that we love in the draft. Everybody loves Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler entered the transfer portal today.
Yes,
leaving
he did.
Oklahoma. All these guys. Sam Howell. Sam Howell is barely on the radar. Keaton Slovis lost his job and may have to hit the transfer portal if he wants to keep playing. There's nobody out there. The teams are going to say, hey, we got to go get. Right? I mean, look, I'm trying to picture Aiden Hutchinson in Jets gear now because, oh, boy. But I'd love to have Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, everybody's still on board now.
But nobody wants that. So, yeah, now it's going to be, okay, we got to go get a veteran quarterback because, you know, we can't sit here and tie our fortunes to players that we just think might be okay, that we're going to talk up because their quarterbacks are going to overvalue them and overrate them. We can't do that.
He can go to Cleveland.
Yeah. He's going to be – look, Cleveland may end up with Sam Darnold and be lucky. Oh, we feel fortunate to get Sam. But Darnold stinks. Yeah, I know. We had to get somebody to compete with Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's a really that's a really big domino that's going to fall in the offseason. It's okay, well, let's take a look at the draft. And it's, yeah, none of these quarterbacks were great. None of these quarterbacks we thought was going to be great, overwhelming fan. Who's going to win the Heisman Trophy? Look, C.J. Stroud may win it, and he's been good, but he can't go to the draft. He's only a freshman. So, I mean, who are you going to look at and say, this is a quarterback that we love? There's not anybody. Like I said, I don't know if you can say it's the NIL money ruined, but plenty of guys who made a lot of money wound up losing their jobs over the course of the season. This has not been a good year for quarterbacks. Doesn't mean there's not going to be good ones, because there's always good quarterbacks, but there's not going to be those guys at the very top of the first round where you plant your flag and go, we got to go get this guy. This is our next quarterback. If Zach Wilson went in this draft, as bad as he's been this year for the Jets, he'd be the overwhelming number one overall pick. If anybody, Mac Jones would be the overwhelming number one overall pick if he was playing at Alabama this year and he was eligible for the draft. There's just nobody there. So, yeah, Russell Wilson's going to have his pick, because plenty of teams are going to say, all right, this is where we have to go. And if you are a team that is ready to win and you're not a team that says, we can tear down and rebuild, right? Look, like the Jets decided, for instance, hey, we got to tear it down to the studs. We're about 2022 and beyond. All right, it's really depressing, but I understand. But if you're most teams can't do that. They don't feel, look, we got teams, we can win now. The Panthers are like, hey, we got players, we can win now. The Broncos are saying, hey, we showed you, we can kind of win now. The Giants, hey, we have some players out there. We have some receivers, we can win now. That's why it's going to be such a big offseason. And if you're a veteran quarterback and you find yourself a position of strength at the bargaining table, because you're going to, that's the kind of year it's going to be. But Wilson's going to be the guy at the top of that, because he's going to want out. Seattle's not going to keep. They're going to try to start over. They're going to have to get draft picks back in return, because they're going to need to replenish, because there's nowhere else they can get somebody. Hey, we found Russell Wilson in the third round a decade ago. We can do that again. I mean, Seattle might be okay with doing that tear down and rebuild, because they are going to have, they really have no choice, because things are just not going their way. And if Wilson wants out, they're going to have to do it. Right? Was it 3 first round picks? Was the asking price for him coming out of last year?
And yeah, that was
really
the rumor.
It, right? It will be more now. Don't you think Deshaun Watson, if he winds up getting cleared, that the price just went up for him? Price went up for Wilson. Price up for any quarterback who wants out that wants someplace else.
Yeah, I mean, and as you look at it, Jason, I mean, look how many guys were given another opportunity and just face planted. And then you've got teams that have those difficult decisions of guys that are midway through their rookie deals. I joke about Cleveland, but I mean, are you signing Baker Mayfield to a long-term deal? No, you're franchise tagging him at this point, right? You're going to play him out on that rookie deal, see what he is, and move on. And it's the idea that you've got a position that holds so much power the way things are officiated now. Right, I mean, how many of these games do we see these phantom personal foul calls that totally change the complexion of a game time and again? And if you've got a guy who can stand poised, take a hit, but also deliver the football, again, you know, you can't touch a receiver at all, that, you know, you've got to think makings of greatness. Now, if the accuracy starts to float, like we're watching with Russell Wilson here, or I know everybody's been watching Matt Stafford and waiting for this for 3 straight weeks, that, you know, that line of demarcation is huge between guys you trust and guys you're like, all right, do we have something else in the arsenal? Right? How much can we hide what this guy can't do? It's what Pittsburgh's been doing with Ben Roethlisberger all year. So it's certainly there. The cost of doing business, because you're also looking at Seattle would end up going into a complete rebuild, because you got 2 wide receivers. I guess Gerald Everett's pretty good, and everything else is good luck at this point. Plus, you're still saddled with the Adams contract. Mm. So, yeah, you've got a lot. Because running back position, do you have anybody you want on the field? That you want for 2022? No. Carson can't stay healthy. Penny can't stay healthy. And you came back to 2021 with them already. If you do it again, you should be punted on the first day of training camp.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Just watch Russell with every passing day. There he goes. There he goes. There he goes. Going. going, gone. Just like Max Scherzer to the Mets. Going, gone. About a buck left in this game, Washington leads Seattle 17-9. Mm-hmm. Seattle is driving. They do have the football, and DK Metcalf has caught a pass.
Whoa.
So there is that. He did catch a pass. We will keep you updated on this, but straight ahead, we get into the message Brian Kelly sent to his Notre Dame players a little while ago about the reports of him going to LSU. Oh, he's still going. Don't worry. No, he's going. But what he told them, you got to hear it.
I it's hope they're up next. All dead.
No, he, come on. He did not say that, Tyshirt.
You don't know.
Come on. We got that story for you coming up next. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Can you hold on about 45 seconds? I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened.
My goodness. We're going to get to Brian Kelly coming up in a second, but what's happening with Washington and Seattle is going to take precedence here for a couple of minutes. The Seahawks, in a last-gasp drive, get the touchdown they needed, but do not get the two-point conversion. All right, Russell Wilson throws a touchdown pass to Swain for 32 yards. He tries to throw to him again for the two-point conversion. They do not get it. So Washington leads 17-15, holding on without a kicker. Washington's had to navigate the majority of the second half of this game without a kicker because he got hurt on the block kick earlier. So Seattle has the onside kick coming. All right, so it's 17-15. They got the onside kick coming. And the Seahawks get it. They get the ball just outside their own 40-yard line with about 14 seconds left to go. It's a big celebration on the Seattle sideline because they just need one completion. They could kick a game-winning field goal. However, there is a flag on the play for illegal formation, and it is a re-kick for the Seahawks. Illegal formation, a re-kick. The Seahawks have just re-kicked it, and it was still a dicey play, but Washington recovers it, and they are going to win this football game 17-15. It was close. It was kind of just like the kick they got, but Humphreys is able to cover the ball for Washington. They're going to win this game, improve to 5-6 on the season, stay in the playoff hunt, and another nail in the coffin of the Seahawks season. But an illegal formation, and look, because we're watching the game while it's happening in front, it looked like did they not have enough players lined up to one side of the field, or they were too far?
It was the way they were bunched. Yeah, okay. As best I can tell from the analysis, and look, we don't go deep into the onside kick rules. We don't see, because normally they're not even successful, because I thought they were going to disallow it because he kind of corralled it at about 9.5 yards.
Yeah.
Just where he was, that it didn't go 10 yards. But instead, it was just the way they were bunched, 3 and 2, and just how they're spread out on one side of the formation. So a little bit of that, I don't know. I think the formation and setups that you would normally have Bill Belichick bringing out his dog-eared rule book to yell at you about might be one of those talking points. But you had a disallowed touchdown from Washington that even made this an opportunity. And the great step up and throw from Wilson to Swain, who got behind the safety, makes winners of Washington here as they hold off the comeback attempt. Just crazy. Oh, crazy finish. Man. Terrible game, but a good finish.
I'll tell you, to get the onside kick and then to have it taken away because you lined up incorrectly. And Pete Carroll is smiling on the sideline. And you can tell the officials are explaining stuff to him. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I know. We should have given
this
the ball
to Marshawn.
This is the
way it has to happen.
Yeah. Had we given the ball to Marshawn, this wouldn't have happened. Yes, I understand. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So, again, the Seahawks lose to Washington 17-15. And suddenly, really quick, the NFC East is not up for grabs, but it's become a lot more interesting because the Cowboys have lost a couple. The Eagles are a couple of games behind, but Washington now is two games back, and they're playing well. Washington's defense is playing well. They're getting enough offensively. And, look, still the Cowboys have a two-game lead because of the way they started, but, yeah, they're not world beaters right now. And
well,
suddenly,
COVID has entered the building for this coming Thursday against New Orleans.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's not going to coach on Thursday because of a COVID violation.
And you got a number of players as yet unidentified.
This is going to be a difficult. This is going to be a difficult, narrow stretch to navigate here for Dallas, who now sees a couple of teams like Philadelphia and Washington who are behind them. That was a big lost opportunity for Philadelphia this week, losing the
absolutely.
Way they did to the Giants. It was an awful game.
How many times did you see Jalen Reagor's name show up in your mentions?
I just saw how many times Nick Sirianni gave Jalen Hurts an F for the game. Yeah. Oh, he gets an F. Jalen Hurts was terrible today. He doesn't get an A, B, C, or a D. He gets an F. But now,
yeah, but he had that little right rollout, and it just bounces off Reagor. It's like, catch the ball, man. How many times did you hear over the course of games yesterday, and I'm sure they said it today, you guys are professional receivers, man. What are you doing?
Oh, man. But that now the NFC, which is good for us, because it's not just the runaway that was looked like it was going to be. Because 2 weeks ago the Cowboys had like a 4-game lead, and it's a really big thing to be halfway through the season. We got a 4-game lead. Now it's down to a couple of games, and things are going to start getting interesting. They have a game in hand. Cowboys have a short week, and we don't know what's going to be like for them. So suddenly now the NFC East is interesting, and all these teams we thought that were great in the NFC, a couple of them are starting to have some problems now, and it's getting a little bit interesting. Look, this is the best part of the NFL season, and this is why this year is great for us, because instead of normally what it is okay, now we know who the best teams are. We get to Thanksgiving. We get out of it. We know who's really good, and we can't wait to see these big matchups. There's, four or five teams that have clearly shown they're above everybody. Not that many. Not that many. It's still anybody's game. And yes, you can point out now and say the Packers and the Patriots may look like the two best teams in the NFL. Oh, by the way, remember I told you the Patriots were going to the AFC Championship game before the season started, right? That was my big bold prediction. But you could say, hey, the Packers and the Patriots, they could be the best right now. It could be a different answer in a week. It could be a different answer in 2 weeks. You could see teams at the top of the AFC and NFC that right now are 6-5 and they could pull off a few wins and go, suddenly we're great now. The Bengals could wind up being the best team in the AFC in a couple of weeks. It could happen. You could start seeing teams surge and hey, maybe they're the best. This is how it goes. This is why this year in the NFL is absolutely insane, because the best team in the league, we may not know who they are right now, and we could have a much different answer in 2 or 3 weeks by the time the calendar gets to the middle of December.
Well, just think about it, how topsy-turvy it's been, because you mentioned Cincinnati. We'd started to crown them a few weeks ago, right? After that pounding of the Ravens, and then what did they do? They lost to your Jets, and then they got absolutely obliterated by the Browns. Okay, then they go and they obliterate the Raiders, and then take the soul from the Steelers. I mean, that wasn't even funny. Joe Mixon carried the ball more times in the first quarter than he does in 3-game stretches. That's how much they went and just annihilated what Pittsburgh was doing. But what's interesting with Washington right now, and you look at this win streak that they're currently on and what they've been able to put together after winning this game tonight, is while you may dismiss the Seahawks, well, it's still Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, and so long as they're there, they've still got a puncher's chance. I think the spread on this one was 1.5 or something. You got the Panthers, they're not good anymore, and now Christian McCaffrey's done for the year. So if you held on to Chuba Hubbard, you're feeling pretty good for your fantasy stretch run. Not world-beating, but a guy that's going to have double-digit touches, so you don't have to go use that free agent acquisition budget. And obviously, it all started with the win over the Buccaneers. What's been interesting to me, Jason, you mentioned the defense on it, and giving up 19 points, 21 points, 15 points. And even before that, 17 points, 24 to the Packers when they lost 24-10. They're doing all of this pretty much without Chase Young's been hurt for a couple of weeks, and Montez Sweat is on injured reserve because of his jaw. the two guys that were making or supposed to make that defensive line hum. And remember how bad they were to open the season, and they were getting beat up on the defensive side time and time again. I just think it's an interesting, you know, conundrum. As it were. Taylor Heinicke playing some decent football. Had that Logan Thomas touchdown erased. I know some fantasy owners mad, like, you know, folks facing us in an expert league. Hi. And others. But you look at the defense was supposed to carry them, and now they're playing better football, more consistent football without the two stars on that side of the ball.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up in 90 seconds, I know I've mentioned it a couple of times. We're going to get to the Brian Kelly message that he put out to his players after taking the job at LSU.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's share with you a little bit of Brian Kelly and his message that he sent to his team at Notre Dame following his acceptance of the LSU job. Brian talked a little bit about it a couple seconds ago. The beginning was how, let me first apologize for the late night text and more importantly, for not being able to share the news with you in person that I will be leaving Notre Dame. All right, first of all, the late night text, it's 10 o'clock at night. What person in college is in bed at 10 o'clock at night?
No, it's not a function of being in bed. It's a function of you put business aside and now you're either studying or you're acting the fool.
But do you really think if you're a football player at Notre Dame, you're not talking, there's not some kind of meeting, you're not out, what's going on, coach is leaving, I heard this. Let me apologize. It's not like he's texting at 2 in the morning going, hey, I know a lot of you went to that raging kegger, man, at Tridelt, but hey, in case of all of you are up. So the late night text he wants to apologize for. I am flying back to South Bend tonight to be able to meet with you in the morning, but the news broke late today, and I'm sorry you found out through social media or news reports. I will have more to share with me tomorrow at 7 a.m. Now, this is okay. Whoa, 7 a.m. meeting? Well, yeah, because, you know, kids have classes, and he's got to be able to find a time to meet. Doesn't want to wait until 5 o'clock or practice later on in the day until, you know, you get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, so you got to have it at 7 o'clock. I get that, and I get that there's stuff that goes out on social media, and you find out before you tell everybody. But when he goes on to say, know that my love for you is limitless, because apparently there is a limit because he's leaving, and I am proud of all that you have accomplished. Our program is elite because of your hard work and commitment, and I know that will continue. As soon as I read that part, if I was a player, I would just hit delete or close the app. Because you can't BS kids. You can't. Right. And I get you. Look, you're leaving and you'll talk. But don't sit here and tell me, oh, I'm so proud of you. What we accomplished. I love all of you so much. Just stop. OK, you took a job. You got paid an incredible amount of money, most likely. And I can't wait to hear what the eventual packages are going to wind up to be for Brian Kelly. But we know what it is for Lincoln Riley and it's houses and private jets and millions of dollars. So you know what it's going to be for Brian Kelly. But just don't sit here and try to BS me and say, oh, hey, everything is great. I love what we've done. It's just say, hey, we're going to meet tomorrow morning about this. Because I look at this and I go, you know what? I can't read this. I can't read. I'm delete or I close the app and I can't look at it. Because you can't do that. Kids understand. They see through everything. All right. You can do that to adults and adults are going to play the game with you because they understand that this is a serve and volley and you're leaving and I don't know when I'm going to need you in the future. So I'm going to blow off when you treat me bad. Adults deal with things differently. Kids see things black and white, and that's awesome. And they're going to see that and go, you know what? Yeah, this is – what does Coach say? This is just a load of crap right now. I'm going to delete it. I'm going to delete it, and it's and I'm going to go to the meeting tomorrow morning. I'm not going to pay attention because he's leaving, and they'll tell me who the coach is going to be, and we'll be able to play in our next game, and maybe it's in the college football playoff, or it's going to wind up being a bowl game, and I'm just going to sit there and not listen because coach is leaving, and he's going for money, and he sends this ridiculous text, and now I'm going to sit here in this meeting and be sad? No, I'm too pissed off. I'm too angry, and that's exactly the reaction that kids should have after seeing this. All right, it's a big world in college football. It's a big boy sport. There's decisions that are made that are going to upset kids, and that's what that's an unfortunate byproduct of college football. But this whole part of it, I'm done, coach. I'm done. You're leaving. Just go. You just go. Yes, I know you love us. You love us so much. You're leaving to go to LSU. You're leaving a school that has its own television contract for LSU, a school that just fired a head coach who won a national title 2 years ago. You're leaving us to go there. Okay. Thanks, coach. Appreciate it. That's how I would feel if I was a player.
Yeah, I think I would have just sent, if I'm Brian Kelly, the Dave Chappelle gif of going, I'm rich! I mean, that's really all it comes down to, right? All the
guys,
flowery
language. You have no idea the money they're giving me. Oh, my God.
Right. I mean, that's it. Or the, old photo that you have of the guy with the giant stack of cash up near his ear like it's a phone. I mean, all of those things. Huel laying on a bed of money. I mean, so many things you could have fun with, but trying to write flowery prose. By the way, I'm working on the logo for the My Love for You is Limitless. or unlimited, because it is Russell Wilson's birthday. Happy birthday. What a great game. But this doesn't work. Come on. This is a clown show. And even if you then recognize, look, it got out. Sorry. We'll talk about it in the morning. That's it. Three lines. Sorry it got out. Sorry I didn't get to tell you. We'll talk at 7 a.m. That's it. All this other stuff is window dressing. You could try to sell it, crocodile tears in the morning while you meet with them. And maybe to some degree you actually feel that way, right? You had Lincoln Riley as he was talking about his time at Oklahoma, and he got teared up a little bit. Again, he's probably already had a good acting coach out here in L.A. Hi, Lincoln. But the idea being that you're getting paid this inordinate amount of money and the opportunity knocks, and Brian Kelly, maybe he's looking at it saying, look, this is as good as we're going to get, and we're still wishing, wanting, and hoping to try to crash the party, and we're not going to be able to, so I can go to LSU, and maybe I can have some of the same success as these other coaches have, right? National titles, last three guys with the gig. Maybe you can continue that, but you're playing there, and every Saturday is next level, and you're actually playing opponents where it is next level, as opposed to, all right, you better beat this team by 48 points because you're Notre Dame playing one of the academies or something like that. So if it isn't a good show, it's criticized in a whole different way there. And obviously academic requirements maybe change along the way as well. But in the end, it still comes back to the whatever gif you want to use to describe how much money and how many perks you're going to get. Maybe you start showing the picture of the Learjet with Ric Flair walking alongside that for you. I don't know. There's gifts for days. Here's Ted DiBiase and Virgil, like we put up earlier, right? We both used the example. I used DiBiase. You came back for Virgil. It's all right there for you. Just don't try to fool the kids. They recognize how much money works. And with NIL deals, they all recognize that as well, right? Because they're all trying to go to a place that's going to allow them to get paid too. So they're not going to begrudge you your cash, coach. Don't treat them like a bunch of five-year-olds.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Telling you, look, the kids, you cannot BS them. But coming up next, why are we in this situation with college football? Why are suddenly Lincoln Riley leaving and Brian Kelly is leaving and Bob Stoops is interim and probably Lou Holtz will be interim? I mean, why is this happening? Something we told you about a few months ago. And if college football is going to get off the crazy train, this is what needs to happen. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Max Scherzer. Max, 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 Max. Yeah, I'm so excited. The Brian Kelly to LSU and Lincoln Riley to USC stories have taken over the past 24 hours, right? We have a big weekend of the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's like, do we even get to it with everything going on in college?
Well, Michigan, Jeez. Ohio State, everything, exactly. Like everything that happened over the weekend, it doesn't matter.
I mean, it was seismic what we've seen in the last 24 hours. And the reason this is happening, there's so many people who want to say, why is this happening? Why is Lincoln Riley leaving? Why is Brian Kelly leaving? And yes, a lot of it is the money. When schools say, we can give you more than you could possibly imagine, okay, I can't say no. I get that. But college football changes every few months. And it was about 6 months ago when the NIL stuff started to hit that we knew players were going to start getting paid and getting money. College football is running off the rails, and what it needs to get back to it is not to have decisions made by power brokers and conference commissioners, because these are the people that are running the sport right now. And when you have power brokers and conference commissioners deciding to say, we want to now jump, we're going to leave the Big 10 or the Big 12 after 150 years and go to the SEC because we think there's more money for us and there's more competition. Whoa, sudden things change in college football more than any other sport, because it's just whatever the whim, whoever has the leverage behind them with the idea of what they want to do. Lincoln Riley decided, and part of it is why he left. Yes, it was the money, but do I want to go to the SEC and get my ass kicked every year? Because this is Alabama and Auburn and LA, all these teams. I kind of like being in the Big 12 where it's me and a couple other schools. So you know what? Yeah, I like that idea of restarting that dynasty out west at USC where the Pac-12 is terrible. Who am I really going to? I'm not going to be fighting with anybody long term. Yeah, so I'll go there. The change of college football made there. This is why Lincoln Riley went to USC. And when Mel Tucker gets all this money from his school that decided we're to deplete our resources to keep him, that changes how teams go after coaches in college football, right? So you're going to see the Wild West of college football continue, where there's really no rules because the rules change every few months. Until college football gets a governing body in and a commissioner and a board or some kind of cabinet, whatever it is, this is going to continue to happen to college football. It's going to continue, and there's going to be something new that's going to be seismic and game-changing in 2 months, and there will be something 4 months after that, and it'll make NIL look like it was a walk in the park. College football needs some kind of leadership, and they don't have it. They need to be able to say, this is our commissioner, this is the person who makes the decisions. But is that really going to happen? Because our conference is going to say, yes, we're okay ceding our power to them? No, we're not. College football needs to stand down and stand in and say, we need to fight for this sport right now, because clearly it's out of control. And hopefully they can come to some kind of agreement, and I don't know what that's going to wind up being, but if they don't get a governing body in, you just watch. These last few months of college football, which is insanity, it's going to seem like nothing in a few months.
Well, it's what we've talked about for a very long time, right? Of all of these shifts, and it goes back to, all right, we're in the Big Ten, but now we have 37 teams, right? Just keep annexing. We'd like that television market under our purview, so let's go make deals here. You've got Notre Dame still holding out, even though they could pretty much pick what they want. No, we'll be in conference for every other sport, but football, you guys can beat it, right? You don't have anything that ties this together except for when we get to deciding a playoff run and how we do the polls. Everything else is so fractured, and everybody's just trying to build, you know, as we've used the term before on the show, fiefdoms. Right, and what's best for our 8, 10, 12, 14 schools and how it goes. And you mentioned NIL. We don't even know how that works for most schools at this point. We've sent notes trying to figure out, you know, our alma mater at Northwestern, who's running it? How are they deciding this? Who's giving out information? And every other school is trying to come up with policies for that. Meanwhile, looking around going, is our coach desirable enough that they want to give him $100 million? So it's different rules of engagement, man. New world order. Let's go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome. Now, all that being said, why was this weekend maybe the best college football has had? Oh, we got more on that. And Kelly and Riley and Russell Wilson. Keep it right here. That's coming up next. This is Fox Sports Radio.